You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Make yourself a oneness with the loving earth. It's time for the Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95BFM.
On the Green Desk this week with Jack Marshall, we hear from Shane Lavery about snapper and breeding grounds. In a new study, his team have been looking into how ocean reserves help to promote fish stocks. Jack started off by asking Lavery what exactly his study found.
Yeah, well, I think it's been a pretty interesting bit of work, and it's been a long time coming. There's been a whole lot of people working on different aspects, bringing various techniques to bear on the question of how valuable marine reserves are to the fisheries that surround them. Because one of the big questions is that marine reserves or marine protected areas, we've known for a long time, are terrific at conserving biodiversity. But the real issue has been that a lot of people have criticised them that they don't contribute much to the fisheries, and that in fact they just lock up resources, fisheries resources, so that people can't access them. So in terms of the economics, marine reserves and MPAs have been regarded as being economically bad because they restrict fisheries. But we have known for some time that marine reserves actually do provide some benefit to the commercial fisheries around them. Firstly, it was quite strongly shown that because more adults, there's more individuals of snapper, for example, in the Lee Reserve, there's a spillover of those adults to the surrounding areas, and so that is a benefit to the local fisheries. But what was never really known was how much contribution came from the spawning adults that then contributed larvae that drifted off to the surrounding waters and were recruited as juveniles. So what was suspected was that they just kind of drifted off right into the throughout the rest of the Hauraki Gulf and were spread so thinly and widely that small breeding population at Lee really didn't make that much contribution to the rest of the fishery. But what we've been able to show is that those larvae that drift off from that spawning population actually don't go very far at all, that they only go something like 50 kilometres or so at the maximum. And so that if you look at the fish that have recruited in those local areas, about 1 in 10 of them have come from the Lee marine spawning stock. So about at least 10% of the new recruits in those local fisheries have come from the Lee Reserve, and they're the offspring of the Lee Reserve adults, which is about 10 times more than we would have predicted.
Yeah, so basically just there's a lot more fish because of these reserves. I was thinking as well, one of the critiques of the whole fishing industry is that you can take the larger fish and not the smaller ones.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of cases it's actually the larger fish that actually spawn more fish. Yeah. So it's kind of...
Exactly, yeah. So that's why we think this particular spawning population at Lee is making such a big contribution, exactly for that sort of reason, because we know that it tends to be that it's the larger fish that produce more young, produce more offspring, and not only that, but quite often they're the fitter young as well. So in terms of the fish that end up surviving and growing, there's a biased contribution by these
like
bigger fish.
Better genetic diversity, or better genetic kind of passing on of genes.
And better fitness, basically. And so we know that in the Lee Reserve, there are this preponderance of large adults which appear to be making a much bigger contribution to the successful fishing recruits compared to all the other adults in the area. Mm-hmm. So what we were doing, we were looking, genetically identifying the new recruits and seeing did they match the adults in the reserve, or did they match other adults elsewhere? And we didn't find them matching any of the other adults anywhere else around. The only matches we found were back to the Lee Marine Reserve snapper. So it looks as though they're...
That's quite a big deal then.
Yeah, so they're making a much bigger contribution than people would have expected. And it's exactly what you say, that it's probably because it's the preponderance of the big... large ones which have been wiped out in most other places.
So how many actually like reserves are there around New Zealand? Because I know there's, I'm from Gisborne and I know there's one there.
Yeah.
There's the Lee one, which is Goat Island.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which is amazing. I went diving there once and I think my dad illegally got like a kenner and broke it on the on the rocks and there was just fish everywhere.
Yeah, it's a fantastic spot. Yeah,
yeah. But so are there... many reserves all around the country?
There's not that many reserves. That's been one of the things, is that even though New Zealand was at the forefront of declaring marine reserves, so the Lee Marine Reserve was one of the first marine reserves anywhere, so we were at the forefront of it, but since that time there's been a lot of resistance to creating new reserves, and I think largely because of this idea that they're... they might be okay for conserving biodiversity, but they're not okay for fishing. This idea has persisted, I think, and I think we're starting to show now that it's the opposite, that they can be a win-win, both a win for conservation, but also a win for fisheries as well, because what this shows is that even a small reserve, just so long as it's targeted around a spawning population, can make a really dramatic effect, positive effect to the surrounding fisheries.
Yeah, and so was there kind of more benefits just for the snapper, or was that just what you were looking into?
We were just looking at the snapper, yeah. So, so now the things that this suggests might be going on in terms of the implications of this work. So firstly, it's suggesting for snapper that perhaps we can boost snapper stocks by having small targeted reserves that target spawning populations or the recruitment areas. So that might help snapper stocks, but also there's the potential that the same thing could be happening in other stocks as well. So it's worthwhile now looking at other species and seeing whether the same sorts of patterns are occurring in them. And and the third outcome from our work is that we didn't just do the genetic comparisons. We were also modelling the movement of larvae through biophysical water models that predict where larvae are going to go. And so was the strongest part of the study was the matching of those two bits of data, that both the genetic data and the modelling of dispersal both told us that the larvae aren't going very far and they're recruiting in the local populations. And so because this modelling work was verified by the genetic data, that now gives us a lot more confidence that the modelling work is really telling us what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so now we might be able to just use the modelling work to be able to make much better predictions as to what's going on. And the modelling work is a lot faster and easier to do than the genetic work. So we might be able to use those models in a much more effective way.
It's kind of speed up the process a little bit.
Yeah.
I was wondering as well, was this area naturally a snapper kind of hatching spot, or has this kind of happened because it's a reserve?
I'm not sure that anyone really knows that. So in terms of what was there before the reserve existed, because it's now been there for quite a few years now, so it's quite possible that this spawning population has aggregated because it's been protected, but I don't think anyone has a definitive answer of that, because we didn't really know what was going on before.
Yeah. And then I think just the last question, kind of how can we use this and go forward? Do we just tell, you know, MPI and NIWA and things and the government that this can actually improve fish stocks and we could possibly have more fish? Because the best way to get things done, I find, is tell people they'll make money, and they'll be like, yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, I think the best we can do is simply provide the evidence and publicise the evidence. So I think people like MPI have felt the pressure from fishermen and other people that have felt that, yes, marine reserves might be good for conservation, but they're not necessarily very good for fishing. I think we're providing the evidence to suggest that they can be very beneficial for both. And I think if we get that evidence out there, then that's going to be what hopefully makes a difference.
You've been listening to The Green Desk with Lily Peacock on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/becasts.